Baby, don't make me spell it out for you. All of the feelings that I got for you can't be explained, but I can try for you. Yeah, baby, don't make me spell it out for you. You keep on asking me the same questions. Why? And second guessing all my intentions. Should know by the way I use my compression that you got the answers to my confessions. It's like I'm powerful with a little bit of tender and emotional sexual bender. Mess me up, yeah, but no one does it better. There's nothing better. That's just the way you make me feel.
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 Uh-huh. So good, so good, so good, so real. Uh-huh. That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
You know I love you so, please don't stop it. You got me right here in your jean pocket right now. Laying your body on the shag carpet. Ooh. You know I love it, so please don't stop it. It's like I'm powerful with a little bit of tender and emotional sexual bender. Mess me up, yeah, but no one does it better. There's nothing better.
Oh. That's just the way you make me.
This is your host, DJ AKP123. Thank you for joining me on Voice of a Generation. It's a Friday afternoon. We got some queer folk in the studio, and we're going to be talking about International Coming Out Day. Or maybe it's just National Coming Out Day. But Coming Out Day. We're going to be talking about coming out, talking about all that stuff. So just real quick, just as a starter, to your comfort level and what you want to share, just go around and share your pronouns, your name, and answer the following question. Are you okay with being called and recognized as queer, or would you prefer a different term for me to call you? So I'm Anna. I use they, them pronouns. You can call me queer. I'm chill with that word.
Okay. I'm Hannah. I use she, her pronouns, and I love the term queer.
I'm Jocelyn. I use she, her pronouns, and I would rather be referred to as bisexual than queer.
All right.
My name is Marlene, she, hers, and I also like the term queer.
All right. Sense. Yeah. Yeah, so Hannah and Merlin and I, queers. Jocelyn, bisexuals. All right. Thanks for saying that. Because, you know, there's some controversy around the term, as people may or may not know. I don't know if the listeners out there know, but the word queer was originally used as, like, a mean word, against people who are gay or trans or any of that. Would anyone like to go into more about their feelings on that word? Or
I could, because I didn't really think about it much because of the language barrier. Like, first I discovered, you know, my sexuality in my native language in Bosnian. And there I heard about, you know, possibility of being a lesbian, a gay person, or a bisexual person. And I don't know, I just didn't feel comfortable at the beginning labeling myself as any of those. And then researching, hearing about word queer sounded just... I like that kind of idea of rebelling and taking ownership over something by which we were oppressed, and especially about how inclusive it is and how it gives me so much space to explore and come in terms with my own sexuality with time and without any limits.
Beautifully put.
Yeah, I guess I also come from like a similar place of growing up with a different language. And like, so for me, queer was never really a derogatory term until I started learning queer studies in English. Then it was like, oh, like there's like this history behind it, but also the repurposing of the world, like people taking the word back and the word becoming this nice umbrella term for just all kind of things that do not feel appropriate to box in into a specific. I think it's just like a nice word when, like, I feel like it's not necessary to like box yourself in into something, and like that can be actually like very overwhelming for some. So I think queer is nice because they are just like, they just don't know yet what, and they don't have to, but it's just like, you know, I'm queer, like, you know, and that's enough. Like,
yeah, leave some mystery, but let them know.
I think with me is just like, I feel like queer is just too strong of a term for me, and also like what Merlin said, like it's too much of an umbrella term for me because I just know that I'm bisexual and nothing more or nothing less. So I just feel like that's just, I don't know, for me, like I just think that's just who I am. I can't find anything else or can't explain anything else. So I guess I have that privilege of finding that that label for me completely. So
yeah, totally. And it's interesting because, like, so where I grew up in rural upstate New York. That word actually was used against me in a derogatory way before I reclaimed it. And I feel like that is also why I identify with it to such an extent, because it's like that, like, before they. Like, they wouldn't look at me and say, like, oh, that's a gross non-binary person. They looked at me and said, that's someone that's not following the rules of gender in ways that I am comfortable with. And so that's what that word really means. And that's how I feel about myself. I'm like, yeah, these rules, like, your expectations and my expectations, this is uncomfortable. Like, this is queer as fuck. Like, what's going on? So, anyways... So next question, when did you first recognize your gender and sexual identity? Kind of going off this same topic. Yeah. What was the moment? Or the moments?
I don't know. There's many identities here intersecting. So I consider myself an ally for a really long time. Because
that whole thing of like I'm like going to the pride parades and being like, oh,
exactly.
No, but it's not me. I'm just an ally. I'm here to support my friends.
Yeah, I don't know. For even when I came in terms with it with myself, for my parents, you know, I'd be like, yeah, go watch Blue's the Warmest Color, and I'm applying to all these women's schools, but for me, no. but I don't know, it took me a while. I felt attraction towards women for a long time, but you know, I thought boys were pretty, and especially tall boys, and then I'd be like, I guess, but then, you know, not thinking about sexuality in those terms because it was such a taboo in my family. Mm. I grew up in a space where there was a lot of bad talk around it. even though my parents seemed, you know, okay, but it turned out to be okay to, I don't know, kids of their friends. But it's different when it's about your kid. And that was, it took me a while to talk to them. And I had to come out like three or four times. First time was in second grade of high school. Mm-hmm. Then since I didn't talk, I had to redo it again a year later. Then just now, like last year, again, reminding them that it is a thing, that it's not a phase, Mom. And yeah, it's especially because, I don't know, I am starting to do a lot of my art and my activism and my schoolwork is around, it's a lot about these identities. And it is interesting kind of navigating that, being super out in one space and then going home and being this perfect, straight daughter. And which is like it's bad for mental health and everything. So yeah, I can't tell you the exact day or date. So because it's been just blur for last 8 years.
Thanks for sharing. Yeah,
you're welcome.
I guess mine is also like, I don't know, like I hear more now that story, but like it's like the cliche, like coming to like you're 12 and 13 and you're having sleepovers and I guess like really like I have like this like memory like ingrained in my brain of like this specific sleepover when like my friends were like gushing about boys and me just being like feeling like such an outsider and just like not like trying so hard to understand what they find attractive and like this random six-pack dude. And I was like, I guess I'm more into emo boys. Oh, that was like where my mind went. I was like, guess I'm like, this is not my kind. Like, I guess I'm just into really like lanky boys. But psych, no. Like, it's just like, it's from then. Like that night distinctly, like I remember like starting to like question like, why am I, like it just became like such a thing because I wanted just to like, You want to just, like, it's just, like, that instinct of wanting to, like, fit in and, like, how do you keep up conversations with your friends?
Yeah.
And, like, me hitting this wall with, like, that topic. So just, like, overthinking about it. And then it just, like, became kind of, like, the, I guess, like, when I realized was, like, also me being, like, I'm all for gay rights, but not me.
Yeah.
And, like, I then me actually, like, stopping and thinking about, like, why am I, like, why do I feel so strong about, like, being an ally? And then just kind of, like, putting one and one together and being, like, am I? But, like, then, like stuff just went down the drain because then, like, I just kind of, like, I was, like, maybe I'm bi. So I, like, instinctively my mind went to, like, would my friends be okay with this? So I kind of, like, asked the friend and they just kind of knew. Like, I just remember, like, they're looking, just, like, looking at me and just being like, yes, I would be okay with it. But then someone hearing, and then them spreading, like, them also being okay, but spreading it out. And, like, just, like, next thing I know, in, like, my very small school in Guatemala, just, like, a random person, like, who's 3 years older than me. Like, I'm a 13-year-old, and this person is a 17-year-old dude coming up to me on the hallway and being like, yo, is it true that you're a lesbian? Mm. And me being like, psych, my dude, that was nothing. So that just like completely like just like ruining that and just like getting super scared because like just like how like from one day to the other like it spreads so quickly, it just like ingrained this fear of like it could have taken just like two more days for that to get to my parents because it's such a small school and the principal knows my mom. And it just like really like scared me, especially because I just like while all of this is happening, like I know pretty well that, like, my family, like, doesn't agree with that. Like, it's just kind of, like, this unspoken thing where, like, every now and then they will, like, if they see someone who they think it is, they will just, like, throw this derogatory term. Mm. So, like, my brain just being, like, it's bad. But at the same time trying to, like, explore, like, I may be. So, I don't know. I guess that's when I came to, like, I realized I was like I am for sure, but it's just like I just like shoved it in the back and just like ignored it as much as possible.
Yeah, Yeah, I relate a lot to that. And especially just, like, I don't know, the fact that, like, you, the process of quote-unquote coming out, right, and, like, perhaps beginning to outwardly express what you're feeling, like, not having access to a community of people that will receive that in a loving way just really affects the way that, for me, and it seems like you too, like, the way that it happens and the way that you see yourself. I also, like, went to school in a really small school district where it was, like, everyone knew your business. Your mom knew their mom, and it was, like, you know, that whole thing? So, yeah. Jocelyn, you want to share?
I knew for a long time that I was attracted to females, but I just fell for guys mostly because it was, not to sound mean, but it was just easier to just be with guys because it wasn't like I had to open myself up to another female and be like, hey, like, I'm like, I like females and I was wondering if you like me. And it's feel like it's more like vulnerable, in my opinion, than just going up to a guy because of the heterosexual norms. Mm-hmm. And like with a female in my school, it was very like, if you're a lesbian, they straight, like, lesbian or not, it's like, it's kind of one of those. So, like, if you like any females or showed any signs, a lot of them associated that with, like, being quote unquote freaky and, like, like a sex fiend or like stuff like that. So it's like,
yeah,
when I showed any signs that I liked another female, a lot of the people in my high school kind of slut shamed me. So I would be like, oh, no, I was joking, haha. Like, you know, I just think girls are pretty, but I would never do anything with them. And then I suppressed that for a while. Not even high school. I think that was middle school. And then going to high school. And then I would never tell my family, even though, like, most of my family has a range of, like, queerness. Like, I have aunts and uncles and sister and a lot of people in my family. I just could not sit with who I was for a second. And it wasn't until I fell in love with my friend, yeah, cliche. Mm-hmm. I fell in love with her. She liked me back, which was amazing, but I was still with someone at the time, so I couldn't do anything. So that sucked. And then fast forward, I wanted to go to the parade, Pride Parade. I wanted to go. And then I told my mom, hey, I want to go to this parade. This was recent. This was probably like a few years ago. So I was like, hey, want to go to this parade? And she was like, why? And I was like, because I'm gay. And then she was like, what? And I was like, yeah, I like girls as well. And then she was like, haha, nice joke, Jocelyn. And I'm like, okay, no, I'm serious. And then she was like, oh, since when? I'm like, since forever. She's like, why didn't you tell me? I'm like, have you met yourself? Mm-hmm. She's just one of those people that, like, she watches, like, Will and Grace and watches RuPaul's Drag Race and watches all these things and think they're funny. Like, they're the pun of the joke. Yeah. Instead of taking it as, no, this is someone's lifestyle. Like, someone can actually live like this. So me telling her, she was like, you know, how are you going to have kids? How are you going to have this? Like, she was still ignorant in that aspect, but still was an ally, quote-unquote ally, in a way. Weird. So when I told her, mm-hmm. she was like, okay, yeah, go to Pride, whatever, that's fine. Like, I didn't ask. I was just telling, like, hey, because I wanted my sister to come, and she has a child. So I was like, hey, can you babysit? Because we want to go, and we don't want to bring my niece because, you know, it could be a little too much for a kid. So he was like, hey, can we just, you know, do that? And then later on, probably like a month after, she was like, I was telling her that I was part of the LGBTQAI+ group here on campus. And she was like, wait, you were serious about you being bi? And I was like, yeah, that was actually a thing, and I'm still that. Yeah. And she was just like really questioning me and was like, wow, I didn't think that you was being serious, even though I was having a serious tone with her and stuff. So I think still to this day, she doesn't talk about it, but it's definitely in the back of her head. And yeah, so that's the current time.
Cool. Like, throughout all three of what you guys have said, I feel like there is a recognition of the fact that, like, the first realization when you realize what's up maybe doesn't feel so great, and you don't really like yourself like when you realize what's up. So what has been your process of embracing that part of yourself? Like, what has it been like? How far along are you on your journey? I'm still very early on. I catch myself saying mean things to myself all the time and like limiting my natural behavior to like do what is considered more normal.
Well, for me, I'm still in the beginning as well. I think just if someone asks, like I'm not scared to talk about it, and I'm surrounded by people that are also going through the beginning stages. So we also talk about things like, hey, like, have you met any cute girls lately? That's like, you know, on our level in that kind of way. And just, I don't know, kind of just being to myself, like not to myself, but like embracing who I am in that aspect where it's like, I go to events, I talk about it, I do research, I make sure that I'm politically correct and make sure that I'm up with the terms and stuff as well. It's not just about my sexuality, it's about everyone's sexuality, and being aware of the people around me as well, I feel like is important, because, you know, it's not just my story. I feel like I can relate to other people's stories, and that also helps me along my way.
I am so aware of my privilege of like very stereotypically feminine looking in this heteronormative world, and I think that helped me to not push me out of the closet when I wasn't comfortable with it. So it gave me time to kind of think about it and think it through. And for me, it was a huge deal meeting other queer people. Mm-hmm. And because you can talk to straight people about it, but there's that sense of, do you relate to it? And can you do think, what kind of questions will you ask? And kind of surrounding myself with people with similar experiences or different, and just, but like with the same umbrella term, it was very significant because I started to learn this huge pool of new information that was so unfamiliar for me. Like, I don't know, I considered myself a feminist before I considered myself as a queer person. And then, but you know, it was like discovering that part of my identity helped me like just become a more educated person. Like, as you were saying, you know, it's just like you have to, if you want to be kind of vocal about it, you have to familiarize yourself with politics. And then suddenly you realize everything you do becomes political. Like, and at first I was really uncomfortable by that. I didn't want to be the face of it. I didn't want people look at me in the room when we're talking about it. But then I realized I am very angry about it and willing to talk about it and have this privilege to talk about it. And some people don't. Like, I'm already out, and like some people are in closet and can't talk about it. So I think I really am right now at the stage where I am more comfortable to be more political about my identity. And I know I'm just like just starting, but compared to previous years, I think I am improving.
Cool.
Mine is a whole ride. What is the question again? Remind me. I was like, I lost my train of thought, but
what has been the process of embracing your queer self?
Well, mine is like, I don't know, like for me it just feels like it also just started like barely like last year, like it would be probably like I'm about to hit a year, like when like it just like finally like just like settled in, just because of like the experience I talked about in Guatemala, just like kind of like stayed ingrained in me, like it just like built like this big fear I didn't even know existed until last year's November. And I moved to the US 2014, and I was like so hyped about it, like my family got just like so lucky, like my dad is just lucky like that. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy. Like, I was like, that's crazy, because Guatemala, in a sense, it's still very homophobic, and like there's like this very strong queer hate. Like, you just can easily get killed just for being out and about. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be very privileged to be able to be out and not get killed, to have like that safety. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like very like it's just like very close to home, because I come from a home that's very homophobic. So for me, it was never like, I just knew that it wasn't safe. And I thought that moving to the US would change that. Like, I was like, okay, I thought it was like a Guatemala problem instead of I just didn't know it was a home problem. So I moved to, it was, what's like, what are the odds? Like, I moved to the Bay Area, like out of all places, like right next to California. San Francisco.
Yeah.
So I was like, I went to my school and I was like, it just felt like I was thrown into like a cliche American movie. Like, I was walking around hallways and I was like, whoa, like there's really punk kids. Like, there they go. And like being like there they go. Like, and like being like, being able, like the cheerleaders, the jocks with the Letterman thing, yeah. And like the band kids, and I was like it was so trippy, and like, so, and like, yeah, like, consequently, just like for me, it was crazy when like I like got to see like kids, people my age, just being like out and about. Like, it was just like, in my mind, it was just like it like blew my mind. Like, I still remember the first time I met like someone, like this gay kid from my high school who's just like out, like collar hair, like just loud, and like, ah, like, I'm here.
Yeah.
And for me, being like so like oh yes, you're really here, and like just being so odd to me, like someone could be out and proud. It was just like so like it like made me so happy, but like it was still not for me, you know. Like, I was just like, mm-hmm. like I was just like vicariously living through them, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And like, it just like, it was this very slow process, like throughout high school. Like, it was just like small victories of like not hating myself for it. And I think there's only like one friend, there were two friends, but like one of them I didn't really like kept in touch as much. Like, these are friends from Guatemala. Like, I came out to her like a week after I moved, like through like text message and stuff, and it was like all good. And then my friend just knew because she was the friend I came out to like the first time. And then like when everything went terrible, and we just talked every day, so she just knew, so she has been like there all along. So she was like the one, she has been like the one person who truly has been there from the beginning, and who like knows what I've been through. Like, it's just like very like small things that I like celebrated, like cannot even like pinpoint. But probably just being like oh, like I can remember the last time where like I just like prayed, didn't pray for like God to make me like straight. Like, that was a thing like I did a lot. Like, I would go to my bed crying and being like, haha, just make me straight. Like, this is not fun. Just like, because just I it was present. Like, I could like, I could go be in about in my day, and then like it would just like my dad or my, or like a sibling would throw like a derogatory term, and just being like I'm not welcome here. Like, it's just like trying to find a way to not like be that, just like trying to like, it was just so like, I just didn't want to be it, because I was like, I do love my family, that's a thing, and that's why it has been so hard for me. Mm-hmm. Just because like, I guess like you like, just every time well, my mentality goes like, this would just be so much easier if I actually didn't like you. Like, if I could just easily be like, I don't need you in my life, like, I'm good without you, but I just do not, because like I love everyone in my family like very dearly, and it just like hurts a lot just knowing that they hate people like me. So like, even like, yeah, that's why throughout high school it was just like this thing of like, I know who I am, but just like having like this internalized self-hatred. So like, it feels like my journey started like a long, long, long time ago, but really just like started back last November when like I thought, that's why I'm in the East Coast, because I was like, I just need to get as far away from you as possible. Like the beginning of college was my way to like distance myself from them and just like calling it quits with my family. That's what I thought. I was like, I'm gonna go to college, I'm gonna like get my act together, like I'm gonna graduate with a degree and like get a job, and I'm going to be able to sustain myself, and I won't need you. and I can let go of you. So I don't have to worry about you, what you think of me. And then I come to college and like this realization of like, I actually do need you, and like, I do want to keep you in my life. So like all like this plan I had in my head just like went down the drain. So what do I do now? And like having realizing that I like need to deal with this, mm-hmm. and like it might just not be as bad. That's what I, because in my head I created like this whole scenario where like the way, because I have a mentor, and like at that point I still talk with her like frequently. And it just got so bad. Like, it was just, like, I went to the financial aid office, like, thinking, like, it was just, like, small things would, like, come back to me being queer. Just, mm-hmm. like, in this instance was, like, me talking about my financial aid. And it just, like, became so stressful because, like, I went to the financial aid office because I knew I had to pay something. And I just didn't know where that money was going to come from. So it's just, like, the realization that I would have to ask my parents for it. Mm-hmm. And just being, like, but I don't want to depend on them because I don't want to mm-hmm. owe them anything. I just want to be out. Mm-hmm. And so it was just like that put a lot of stress, and like it just made me like kind of like burst out all of these like emotions from like Guatemala and my family, and my mentor being like, you know, it might not be that bad when you come out, like, you know, maybe they will like actually be okay with it. And just like, it was just the fear of like it being so bad what was keeping me from like being out to anyone at all. Like, it was that bad. Like, I thought like my friends in high school knew that I was gay, but they just didn't, because I've never actually let them in. Mm-hmm. I was just that scared of like, if I tell one friend, it will like the next day, like five other people will know. Mm-hmm. And in 3 days it will get to my parents. And next thing you know, my parents are kicking me out. So that's where like, that's when my mind was like going 1,000 miles per hour. Like, you cannot be out to anybody because otherwise like you're not safe. Mm-hmm. But so like, it's just like, it just started last November because I just hit that realization that coming out to one person won't actually get me kicked out of home.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where I'm at. Like, slowly, but steady.
So like creeping along.
Yeah. Getting there.
You know? Yeah. Thank you for sharing. I loved listening to all of that. And one thing that you said, Merlin, in particular, like, really struck with me, that, like, it would be so much easier if you didn't love these people that are making it hard for you to exist happily. And especially, I mean, like, I relate to it on one level, in that, like, I am not, my family isn't really my family. Like, my blood family isn't my family. And that has made it a lot easier for me to be like openly trans out in the world, because I am not returning to their house no matter what, so they can't kick me out. Mm-hmm. And they aren't financially supporting me, so they like, it doesn't, I mean, it's sad, but it's allowed me a lot more flexibility. And for those who don't know, I was a student at Gettysburg College, but I left. This is the first semester I haven't returned, and a lot of why I left is because I really just felt like I had no community here. Like, I had no people that I could just genuinely be myself around, because for those who don't go to this college, you may not know, but it's a very frat heavy, it's predominantly white, it's super normative. Lots of straights, lots of cishets roaming around in their sports gear and their, you know, I don't know all the brands, all the fancy brands, but it's just a very much, and it's very small campus as well. And there, because it's so small, there aren't a lot of out queer people to like choose from socially. And I like had this thing where I was like, I just need to go to the city and just find people who are like me. And if I find those people, then it will be so much easier for me to like love myself as a trans person. And then I went away and I was like, damn, I kind of like actually love my friends though. And like, even if they don't understand every part of my like trans self, like, I'm invested in that community, and I can't just like skip out when it isn't easy and when they don't know how to love me automatically, you know? Like, and that committing to a relationship like that and putting in energy in such a scary and risky, vulnerable thing is so hard. I thought I was going to go somewhere else with that. That's pretty much all I had to say. I think we'll take a quick music break and return soon. You've been listening to 91.1 WZBT Gettysburg. This is DJ AKP 123. You're listening to Voice of a Generation. We'll be back. Welcome back. This is 91.1 WZBT Gettysburg. I'm your host, DJ AKP 123, here today on Coming Out Day to talk with some queers, some bisexuals, some people about their lives, their experiences, and how they're doing. So we have previously introduced Hannah, Jocelyn, and Merlin, and we are now joined by a fourth guest. Would this guest like to introduce themselves?
Yes. Hello, my name is Melanie. You, she, her pronouns, and I identify as queer. Undocu-queer.
Hello, Melanie. Undocu-queer and here. So... So, previously, before our last music break with some black queer artists, by the way, we were talking about our experiences of coming out, what it's been like to accept oneself, perhaps the parts of oneself that aren't as loved by general society. And now I want to throw an idea out there and hear your reflections on it. Some people use the term coming out. Some people use the term bringing in those people into your life. So anyone got any thoughts on this? Oh, Melanie, go ahead.
I was the one who generated the question, and it's because in my inner circles with other undocumented students, in preparing for a facilitation and like recollecting different narratives of undocumentation, there's this term undocu-queer, and one of the majors undocu-queers scholars have talked about that we have to technically come out twice, once with our sexuality and then once another times with our statuses. And then they were not sitting okay with it. It's because we're not coming out to society. We are letting society into us. We're letting society see this vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And more especially, we're letting people that we love and care come in and see us into this, I will say, two identities that in some aspects they tend to create tension with each other, but in other aspects it's still this aspect of invisibility until we embrace it. And what I mean is that at least for me, it has been up to me to reclaim my narrative back in both of them, and kind of like dismantle the narration that has been put into me with that. Mm-hmm. And I think that at least with being on docu-queer, is a tension of culture too, is a tension of in some aspects, for some people, they not only migrated for like opportunities, but they also migrated in regards to persecutions. Mm-hmm. And different forms of persecutions. And most, I will say, will be more of like how then they identified gender-wise or sexually-wise in regards to those persecutions. So I think that undocu-queer is this, I will say, this in-between space where I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
because they're very, very vulnerable of my two aspects. But I don't like the term coming out. I don't know. It's just like, why is it necessary for me to come out to you? It's, no, I don't. I necessarily don't feel like that. Yeah. I'm letting people in.
Yeah, and I like it especially because coming out kind of implies that you were hiding before, mm-hmm. that it was a secret, and that no one really does know until you claim that yourself and tell them. But mm-hmm. like the idea that like you were hiding that part of yourself, which isn't necessarily true. And Jocelyn, it looks like you've got something you want to say.
For me, when I hear the term like coming out versus like someone letting people in, I feel like I never thought of it that way. I think with coming out, you just always have to like label yourself all the time. And it's like, can I just walk into the room and not scream out that I like the same sex? Like, can I just, you know, it's hard because it's like, well, people automatically assume the norms, and it's, and you know, that's society or whatever, but it gets tiring after a while. It's like, you know, when they see you with one specific person, they're like, oh, you know, you guys are, you know, together, you guys are heterosexuals, you know, like, I don't know, it's just so quick to call me heterosexual. And I guess the verse of letting in is more like, well, am I allowing you to know who I am? Or am I letting you into my circle and figuring out, like, my interest and who I am, I guess, instead of coming out and just, like, kind of yelling at people, like, hey, I'm not heterosexual. So I never thought of it of that aspect. So hearing that question, I have to think about it, you know?
A brain teaser.
Yeah, a brain teaser a little bit. I like it.
For sure.
Keep me on my toes.
Yeah, and it makes me think about, too, like, I don't know, just, like, the idea, like, of proclaiming it. And it's, like, for me as, like, a trans person, like, my queerness very much is a behavioral thing, and it's a visible thing without, like, I can't really hide it if I want to be myself. It's not something that I can, like, wait to be. I mean, I can, but that's super uncomfortable. Pretending to be a girl is super uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But, like, it still is a thing of, like, bringing people in enough and trusting them to like be able to celebrate who I am and to like bring that part of myself into a relationship in a way that I'm proud of. Yeah. If y'all feel Hannah and Merlin, you feel satiated by our conversation?
Yes, but also I really like language and words, and linguistically I think these two terms are very interesting because they're almost a play on emotional labor. Mm. You know, like, to come out, it feels a lot physically more exhausting than to let in. Mm. And that talks a lot about, like, emotional labor, because if you expect individuals to go on to each and every single person and tell them and let them know, and like, and because usually people to who you come out, they kind of take it personally and think it's about them now.
Yeah.
And just letting people in that context, it feels like even bringing them in, it's like, okay, let's talk about it. It just feels more inclusive, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just to, like, you know, recognize and acknowledge who came with this term and who has been influenced, like,
by putting the term undocu-queer.
Yeah, undocu-queer, and letting, like, that aspect of letting people in. Well, we heard it from Julio Salgado, and undocu-queer, I first heard it from Josimar. And both of them identified as undocu-queer. And Julio Salgado is an undocu-queer artist. He has done a lot of, like, social activist artists surrounding undocumentation. And Josimar, he is an academic, organic academic, but he's an academic at the end of the day. And he does a lot of talks talking about that and using positivity and humor to process trauma and experiences in regards to being on DocuQueer. Mm. So just for to give a little context and, you know.
Cite your sources. Mm-hmm. Totally. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Well, how is everyone feeling? We just really poured our hearts out to the world, to all of the five listeners in Gettysburg.
Feeling good.
Feeling good.
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 Yeah, so thank you all for joining. I've had such a pleasure learning from your experiences. I feel like I could listen to you all talk forever, and hopefully I will do so over a meal or something later on today. To all those listeners out there, hey, come on in to my queerness. Thanks for listening. This has been 91.1 WZBT Gettysburg, Voice of a Generation. Our lovely host, DJ Jolie, is going to hit you with our social media links.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, hey. So obviously reach out to us at Voice of Gen 21 on Instagram, Voice of a Generation on Facebook, Voice of Gen 21 at gmail.com if you ever want to like reach out to us for anything. Plug for national, there's going to be a national coming out day discussion on October 16th at 6 to 8 in the OME basement, Office of Multicultural Engagement basement. And there will be free pizza, so please do come through.
Pizza.
And another shout out to Megan.
Megan Adler?
Yes, Megan Adler. She was amazing. She helped put together these questions with us. So big, big, big shout out to her. She's
love you, Megan.
I think so. So yes, yes. So thank you for listening. I hope our guests enjoy themselves. And thank you for sharing your stories with us. And is there a plug? No? All right. Huh?
Collaboration.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Okay.
What do you want to say?
We got DJ MJ La Chingona.
I mean, I just wanted to put out that this was collaborated with the LGBTQA Research Center and the Women's Center as well. So, yes.
We out here.
We got resources. Yes, and if you don't know where the Women's Center and the LGBTQA Center, it is located on the first floor of Apple Hall. And if you know where Apple Hall is, it is in front of the gym.
Jaeger. Jaeger said it.
All right. So thank you so much, listeners. Tune in next Friday, 5 to 6. Same old, same old. Follow us on Instagram so you know what shows is coming up. And thank you for listening. This is Voice of a Generation.